Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. Hope your day's off to a strong start. We're going to continue today with our coverage of COVID-19. We are getting some positive developments, although we don't want to get too excited and back off of the protective measures that people are taking. But it does appear that the rate of increase in the spread of COVID-19 cases is slowing somewhat. That's very positive. Los Angeles County health authorities are urging individuals during what they're calling a very critical week to stay home this week, and if possible, if you're okay with supplies, to avoid grocery shopping, to try and limit your interactions in the world absolutely as much as you possibly can, to see if Los Angeles County and other parts of Southern California can help to turn the corner on COVID-19 as soon as possible. Joining us to start our conversation today is Los Angeles County Supervisor Catherine Barker. And if you have questions for the supervisor about what the county is doing to try and stem the spread of COVID-19, we're at 866-893-KPECC, or you can post on our Talk page, kpecc.org. Supervisor Barker, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You taking a bit of solace, at least, that the rate of increase seems to be slowing?
Well, what it tells me is that people are listening, and so I'm so appreciative of those that have taken the safer at home seriously. There's no question that is helping, but I don't want people to think that we're out of the woods yet. You know, you talk about slowing down here, LA counties. Yesterday, our number was down, but that's only because we're coming off a weekend. I think this week is going to be very telling as we ramp up testing and really get access out throughout the entire county to people to get tested. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I mean, but I don't want people to let their guard down.
Very good. Let's talk about testing specifically. How many sites are up now in the county?
So right now there are, I believe, well, we're doing it with the city as well in terms of the number of sites. And so in L.A. County, we've got Pomona, Antelope Valley. I think there's about eight.
Okay.
And add to the city, there's probably six that they've got. So we've got about 14.
So just over a dozen that are now open. And we heard from Mayor Garcetti last night that now individuals who have symptoms, it appears likely that they can get a test. They don't have to be in a high-risk group or over 65.
Well, they can register. They can request a test. I think there's that needs to be clarified by the city because there's an important distinction in terms of who qualifies to get the test. And so I can't speak for the city, but at least in the county, we're sticking with those that are showing symptoms. I mean, you have to register, and then if you meet the criteria, they send you for the testing. You just don't show up at a test site.
Okay. And do you need a referral from a physician or not?
Not necessarily. And that's where filling out, if you go on lacounty.gov, there's frequently asked questions, and it will outline the parameters in terms of the testing and who would qualify. But if you're not under a doctor's care, I mean, we always encourage people to reach out to their provider. And even in the county, that would be one of our clinics. Reach out to them to find out whether or not they recommend they go in for testing. But if someone does not have a provider, they can go online and sign up. And if they fit into the criteria, then they would be moved forward.
All right. And just clarifying the numbers, seven Los Angeles city sites and then the six you mentioned for the county. So 13 is what we've got across LA County. So just clarifying, although, of course, there may be some that are opening. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Now, cities are attempting to find ways of housing those living in their cars or tents or encampments, and hotel rooms is something that's been looked at. Do you have any details on how many people countywide are being sheltered in hotels?
Well, so, I mean, you know, one thing I want to say is it just tells me when you work together, you can move mountains. And working with the state, our goal is to get 15,000 beds up by April 26th. contracting with hotel and motels throughout the county. And so right now we are finalizing, I think we've got 12 additional sites that are being finalized probably today or tomorrow. And we've executed 15 lease agreements throughout the entire county, which totals about 1,000 hotel motel rooms that'll be available. And one of the things I'm stressing is that the people are saying, well, how can you end up in one of these? How do I know where to go? We're working with our service providers to be that link to get people into these beds. And so that it's important for us to work with the nonprofits and those that are already literally on the street doing the outreach. And we're giving them the resources available to get people off the street.
We're talking with Los Angeles County Supervisor Catherine Barger about the county's efforts to stem the spread of COVID-19. We're talking about homeless services as well as testing. We'll talk a little bit later about small businesses in the county and what the county is doing to help with those challenges. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. One of the challenges with some members of the homeless community is going to be with services that they need, mental health services, addiction treatment, and the like. For those that are going into hotel rooms, are there wraparound services that are available during this time when people are doing physical distancing?
Absolutely. I think that is one of the most important aspects to what we are rolling out, and that is providing supportive services for those individuals that are in need. And in order for this to work, that's got to be a key component moving forward. And so absolutely, especially the mental health component, we are going to have the wraparound services and the supportive services for individuals, which also includes getting them signed up for any benefits that they may have. I mean, one of the things that I found is, especially those that are VA or veterans, they don't realize they may qualify for services, and so we will have people there to really completely do a wraparound as it relates to what they would qualify for as well. Our goal is not only to get them off the street, but to help get them back on their feet.
What about efforts to keep them safe in hotels or motels? Because yet, I mean, ironically, it might be easier in some cases for people who are living in encampments or in their cars to physically distance themselves. That might be more challenging in the public spaces of hotels and motels. So how is the county, in conjunction with cities, trying to address that?
Well, I mean, the social distancing is something that is is going to be very much practiced and focused on. We have public health that will be on site, and that is being taken into consideration. And I mean, if there are those that are going into areas for quarantine, they will have their food brought to them. I mean, we're making great effort to make sure that not only for those that are maybe in isolation, but also those that are just getting off the street, to have the social distancing in place. And so that's all being taken into consideration when we put people in any of these sites. And then when you talk about safety beyond that, security is going to be in play there as well. So, I mean, we've thought of everything as it relates to checking them in, checking their temperature, making sure that they've got what they need in order to get through this period, and food included, and then providing the services beyond just the materialistic, so mental health.
All right. Joe in Hollywood says, I'm a homeless senior. I live in my car. I'm mildly symptomatic. I can't get through to any of the private organizations offering the rooms. It's been difficult to get in contact. Catherine Barger, do you have any advice for Joe on how to get out of his car? And I wonder, being mildly symptomatic, he probably should be screened first thing.
Absolutely. So did he email you? Did Joe email you?
He called us, actually, and maybe we can get his phone number if that would be helpful. And
I could have someone call him immediately. And
that would be great.
The goal is for the providers that are currently in that community, and I'm sure if he's familiar with any of the providers in the area that he's currently in his car, they have all that information. But I will definitely follow up on that as soon as I hang up.
All right, very good. We will email your office Joe's phone number. So we're taking Joe's number offline, and we'll provide that to your office. We're talking with L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger. Her district is the 5th, which represents the valleys. San Fernando, Santa Clarita, Antelope Valley, much of the San Gabriel Valley as well. And we're talking with her about what the county's doing to respond to COVID-19. 866-893-KPECC. Louise in Pasadena says, since foster youth age out at 21, their stipends, or the stipends that caregivers receive, stop. So those foster young people at 21, their housing immediately stops. Is there anything that can be done to stop the aging out at 21 during this time of COVID-19?
Well, first of all, we have put a priority transitional age youth. So housing is one of the number one priorities as it relates to providing housing opportunities. And so foster youth that are transitioning out at 21, we want them to be able to either continue to go to school or get a job and save. So we do have housing in place, and we are actually increasing that. Prior to COVID-19, that was one of the top priorities for this board as it relates to affordable housing. So that is something that is not lost on any of my colleagues or myself. And I feel like we have an obligation to make sure that our foster youth that are transitioning out have that opportunity, because it's no fault of their own that they are in the system. And we are their de facto guardians, therefore we have an obligation.
Would it make sense in the short term to extend the stipends to caregivers for the foster youth living with them temporarily past the age of 21, just so they're not changing households in the middle of COVID-19?
You know, that, and I will take that back to the state, because the state really is the one that puts together all these type of financial reimbursement and all. So I think that is an excellent suggestion. And you know, the wonderful thing about working with the state right now is that they are very much in real time addressing some of the, if you will, barriers that we didn't even think of as it relates to COVID-19. So I will actually take that up to the state.
And is that something that, after we're through this crisis, any hope that that could continue? Because this is an ongoing challenge, that everything that needs to be addressed by the state takes forever to be acted on. Could that change from this?
You know, Larry, I don't know. I would hope that the lesson to us all is that we need to be fluid, and you need to be able to pivot quickly, especially when you're dealing with something like the COVID-19. To be seen. I really do believe that in my lifetime, never experienced anything like this. I think it's changed a lot of things and a lot of the ways that we are doing things, not only in government, private sector, across the board.
All right. 866-893-KPECC, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. JSK writes, is there a number for those who think they're symptomatic to be able to call and be able to find out about testing?
So, and let me just correct myself. It's 19 test sites, because they're putting online MLK. And then East LA is going to have one, and then we're doing one down in the South Bay.
Oh, great. Okay.
And so, I'm sorry, repeat the question.
So, yeah, the question from listener JSK was, is there a phone number that people can call who think they're symptomatic so that they can, and if it's a long wait, he wonders, could there be a callback feature like some customer service centers have, so you're not waiting on hold endlessly?
So before I hang up with you, I will have a phone number. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
But yeah, I know we do on the website, because really when we are asking people to register, they have to go on the website. But there may be a phone number at public health that someone can call to get that information, or they can call 211. but I know there's a toll-free number as well. So 211, and then before the end of this program, I will give you that phone number.
That sounds great. We have a couple of listeners who say they have property that is sitting empty right now. One has a large house near downtown, 10 beds total, and wondering how to make it available. Brian in Koreatown says he has a large apartment that's empty, and they want to know how they can offer these units.
So, you know, I will tell you that LASA, the L.A., Los Angeles Housing Authority is, Homeless Services Authority is really spearheading all of that. And so I would encourage them to call the LASA group and register with them. One of the reasons why we're able to get all these hotels and motels online so quickly is there's no occupancy. So they are looking for an opportunity to enter into contracts with the county. And we are looking at facilities like that because our resources, and I'm not talking money, I'm talking people, are stretched very thin. So to have them on one campus, if you will, makes it a lot easier to provide the supportive services necessary, including the food. But I know that the LA, Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority would love to hear from anyone who may have an opportunity, even beyond COVID-19. For individuals that are either near homeless, which means that they are one paycheck away and they can't afford their rent, or those that are looking for an affordable place to live.
We're talking with Los Angeles County Supervisor Catherine Barger. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the issue of housing and eviction protections for renters. We'll talk about it both on the residential and on the business side, and also talk about landlords. What are they able to ask for or not, as a way of having documentation of a tenant's financial distress? You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Our listener who posted about having a large house near downtown available, so he went to the LASA website and there's no contact info on it. I just during the break checked and yeah, I can't find any contact info either. So we'll contact LASA, the LA Homeless Services Authority, and see if we can get some more information about that. And also in the coming days, we'll have the director of LASA hopefully joining us to take your calls and your questions about services. We're at 866-893-KPCC. There is an information hotline for LASA, which is 213-225-6581. 213-225-6581. That's apparently staffed from 7:30 until 4:30 in the afternoon. So hopefully that's helpful. We're talking with LA County Supervisor Catherine Barger. Supervisor Barger, what sorts of protections are available locally to those renting both on the residential and on the commercial sides?
Well, as you know, when this COVID-19 hit, I signed an executive order, which was an eviction moratorium to protect individuals from falling into homelessness through eviction. And when we talk about the safer at home, that means everyone, because small businesses and major corporations are shutting down and reducing their hours. And so we did not want individuals to be put in a position where they weren't going to be able to pay their rent and they were going to be evicted. So that eviction moratorium goes into effect through May 31st. And what I tell people, it doesn't mean you don't have to pay your rent. I encourage people to reach out to their landlords. The tenants will have 6 months to repay their rent after the executive order is terminated, and they can work out a payment plan with their landlord. But it's important for us to, and this also goes for businesses as well, so it's important for us to work together so that we don't increase the number of homeless as a result of this horrible crisis.
Is there documentation that landlords can require of tenants to show that they are going through financial distress so that you don't have, in some cases, tenants who don't need to do so delaying rent payments?
Well, I think that's why it's important for to point out that this does not mean you're not going to have to pay your rent. Because you will have to pay your rent. We're just giving you an opportunity to get back on your feet. And so that's why I say it's important for them to reach out to their landlords. At this point, we're not mandating that requirement. We're just saying that, number one, you cannot evict someone if for non-payment. And number two, if you are in an apartment or a home and you're not paying your rent, that does not mean that you are, once this eviction is lifted, not going to be required to pay for those months that you were not paying. So, you know, I know that there's going to be individuals that may take advantage of it, but at this point, for the county, the goal was to put something in place so that landlords would not evict, but also for individuals not to feel the stress of not being able to pay their rent and have a fear that they're going to end up on the street.
All right. We have a listener, Laura in Island Park, who says, I think public transportation should be stopped. I've seen people on buses sitting shoulder to shoulder. My husband's a bus driver. He comes home and tells me there are many people on the bus. Has there been a thought about limiting or halting public transit?
So we've cut down on service, but we're not going to eliminate public transportation. I mean, there are people that still depend upon it. We have essential workers that depend upon it. And so we encourage people to practice social distancing. You can no longer enter a bus from the front. You have to enter it from the back. Social distancing, and again, you know, Larry, I want to emphasize to all the listeners, it shouldn't be about government telling you that you have to do it. We have said this over and over and over again. So for those that are using public transportation, social distancing also applies to those that are in and on buses, light rail, subways, trains, and it's just, to me, a common sense issue, but we need to keep reinforcing the social distancing. But to terminate public transportation right now, I think would be a disaster for many who depend upon it.
Well, and particularly, and Laura, I understand what you're saying about your husband and his vulnerability as a driver. Your concerns are certainly founded. But for many people who work in the healthcare industry, they may not have a personal automobile. People who are working at supermarkets, involved in vital services. And if they can't get to work, it's not just about their income, as important as that is, but about their service of the public doing what is essential work.
Right. And understand this, that one of the reasons why people are entering from the back is to protect the bus driver, because when they come up in the front, they come almost face to face. So our goal was to try to protect our bus drivers, who are essential workers. You know, we talk about the first responders, we talk about the healthcare professionals, but we have a lot of people out there that have truly stepped up and made a difference. And I would say that our bus drivers and all of our people working in transportation fit into that category as well.
Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about assistance to county businesses. Is there anything that the county is able to do? And I'm speaking broadly, whether it's working between a business that rents from the property owner to tiding them over until they'll be able to reopen post-COVID-19. Is there anything the county's able to offer?
So, you know, the state, first of all, the state has released their data showing that there's been a 370% increase in unemployment insurance claims processed from the week prior. So that tells me that it's gone from 186,000 to 880,000 statewide. There's no question that we are going to have to help many, many businesses rebuild. We have a workforce development division within the county. We've also got consumer business affairs that can help navigate the SBA, Small Business Administration loans. The federal government's released a program where if you've got a business and you will promise not to fire anyone, it will become a grant. So we are here to help people navigate through all these different financial assistance, both federal and state and county, that are available. But the county is going to be more of the one to help kind of navigate what is available, because a lot of those programs are state and federal programs.
Supervisor Catherine Barga, thank you so much for being with us. I know you're extraordinarily busy leading the Board of Supervisors and representing your district. I would love to have you back with us next week if we could do this again, and we'll be in contact. I hope we could work that out.
Larry, anytime. I know that you are, a lot of people listen to you. I want to thank you for educating the public and bringing a lot of what is going on right now to light, because this is how we're going to get the word out so that we can once again go back to business and really helping people get their lives back together.
Thank you so much. Supervisor Catherine Barger, Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC.